Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we also have a website, propheticnews.com, and a YouTube channel, Prophetic News TV. So those things are available for you. And our guest today is Christine Weick, and we're going to be talking about the new Pope, the Antichrist, the end times, the book of Revelation, and truly, we know that we are in the end times because truly the days are evil. We see so much evil around us. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Some of the things that we're seeing. What about this trial, the abortion doctor, but I shouldn't even call him an abortion doctor because it's just outright murder, the House of Horrors there in Philadelphia, the Kermit Gosnell trial. The jury's still out. Hopefully he will be convicted, and it will set a precedent for what's going on. These cases really don't get enough attention. The media is hardly talking about it. They pay more attention to another trial that's going on in Arizona. People are obsessed with it, but yet people aren't as obsessed with this trial, which is much more horrible because it involves innocent babies that don't have a say for themselves. So I am hoping that this man is convicted. I can't even talk about the things that went on in this chamber of horrors because it's so awful that it defies description. And truly, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. But we can just about expect anything, and we're going to see so many things happening in the days ahead that we'll just be shaking our heads. So we need to hold on to God now more than ever. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation, and today would be a good day for you to give your life to Jesus and repent of your sins, because if you don't know you're going to heaven, then you're not saved. If you're saved and born again, you will know you're going to heaven. Now, you don't have to make confessions and Hail Marys and pray the rosary and belong to one particular church to go to heaven. You must be born again, and you must accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you go. So, hi, Christine.
Hello, Susan. How are you today?
Good.
Good.
Glad to have you on today. Thank you for coming.
And I appreciate the invite. I appreciate you very much.
Yes, thank you. Of course, this topic never gets old.
It gets more interesting.
Yeah. It really does, but we do have a new Pope, Francis.
Yep.
And I was in the store today, and I saw a headline in one of the papers, the new world the Pope of the New World. So I thought, well, that's an interesting way to put it.
Yes, that was on the front of Time magazine.
Time magazine?
Yep. It is called the New World Pope. And I thought, boy, isn't this one an ironic term. New World Order, New World Pope. Yeah, I think he fits perfectly.
Yeah. I just glanced at this cover as I was checking out. So to you, though, what does that mean, New World Pope?
Well, we have known for the last couple of decades, I think, George Bush the First, he's not the first, but it was the first president, George Bush. He definitely made the comment for the first time it was worded in a speech, New World Order. And, of course, his son came back later and also echoed the same words. And every president has mentioned the New World Order.
Oh.
And I believe...
it's on the dollar bill, too.
Oh, yes. It's in Latin underneath the underneath the pyramid. It is written there. This has been something they have talked about for years, to bring everything under one world government. And, of course, this is predicted also in the Bible. And it would be the rise of those, you know, the feet of the Antichrist, the next world dominion, you would say. And, of course, it's ruled eventually by one dictator called the Antichrist. And if you don't believe me, well, you know, this is a biblical prophecy that has been talked about for, you know, centuries, not thousands, because the book of Revelation is only about 2,000 years old. But it's something that Martin Luther even talked about in his writings. And it is something that has been in the formation for years. It just takes the right time. It's also God's plan. And a lot of Christians have approached me and says, well, what are we supposed to do? Can we pray that the Antichrist will not come? And I think you cannot do that because
no.
That's God's plan. And
yeah.
If God says it in his word, so be it. Well, can we change the mind of God? Can we, you know, make him change his mind? Or can we pray that he changes his mind? And I says, well, at some point the world needs to end. We got to rid the evil out. And the harvest will have to come in order to do that. And that is necessary. You have to. You can't keep going the way it is.
No, we can't, definitely. It's kind of like, it reminds me of living in an insane asylum. If you thought about it too long and if you didn't have the joy of the Lord and if you didn't think on good things, but if you looked around you and you listened to the news all day or you read the headlines, and I think it would drive you crazy.
Yeah, if you are one of those fearful type of people.
Yeah.
And I think you need to look at the headlines and say, the Lord's coming soon. I mean, why can't we look at it in that tone? And I see every time there's a major event, you kind of like, okay, like, you know, just what's happening this week between Syria and Israel. You know, you got to look back at the prophecies and see that that is yet to pass. And it's like if we're going to see this with our own eyes, a biblical prophecy come to life, that has got to be exciting for the believer, because then we can say, look how true the Bible is. We can use that as a tool against those who say that that book is just a myth. It is just a book of stories. But when you can prove that everything has says in there, it is coming true, that to me gives me more affirmation of my faith.
Yes. Yes, we have a blessed hope, so we don't have to be afraid of the things that are happening around us. It's was reading a headline today. In Lakeland, Florida, three middle schoolers were planning to bring explosives and do damage. These are middle schoolers, so where do these children get these ideas? And so they had to take three of them into custody. But if we didn't know God, and I don't know how people make it without having their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, because we know no matter what, we win. And if you don't know God, you don't win. You can be afraid. You can What can I say? If you live in that apprehensive, right? That's a good word.
In fear, if you're going to wake up to the news and just dread what you're going to see, I think someone like that needs to go back to the Gospels where Jesus said, "You have nothing to be afraid of. Trust in God. I am with you through this." Look at the Apostle Paul. He knew that when he spoke in the synagogues, or Peter, when they spoke boldly, they were going to get it. The people didn't want to hear it. They would report them to the Romans. How many times was Peter and Paul thrown into prison and beaten? Yeah. You didn't think they knew that was coming? Do you think they were fearful? If they were fearful, they would have kept their mouth shut.
Yeah.
But of course not. They knew God was on their side. Yeah, I'm sure they didn't appreciate getting the beatings. Of course not. That was pain. But at the same time...
Oh, yeah, that's pain.
You betcha. And believe me, when they beat them back then, they beat them. It was probably to an inch of their life, literally.
Yeah.
And this is something that they took on gladly for the sake of the Lord.
Yes.
And we're sitting here with none of that really going on in the United States. I mean, you don't see beatings of Christians yet.
Oh, right.
I say yet, because
right.
It's coming.
Yes, it's coming.
It's coming. When you're starting to see military personnel writing letters to their subordinates that the terrorist group today in the United States is the evangelical Christian. Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
These
people coming out. And then we have this gay basketball player who came out, and then the announcer on, I think it was ESPN, made the comment of, you cannot be a Christian and do this type of thing. This is a sin. It's an abomination against the Lord. And that reporter or that announcer is now suspended.
Oh.
And that is, again, you cannot speak out against sin anymore without being persecuted. But pretty soon it's going to come a day where they're going to threaten you with your life.
Yes.
If you don't shut your mouth.
Oh, yeah, that's coming.
Oh, it's coming. You're going to see a lynching, and you're going to see people going after these people and doing and basically damaging property. And this is, in a way to shut the mouth of the believer. And unfortunately, I'd say about 95% of the Christians would keep their mouth shut.
Yeah.
They already are.
Yeah.
They already are. And we're not even to the point of a real, real threat.
Well, the thing is, most of the church is in such a pitiful condition anyway. So
sure, they preach hyper grace. Everybody gets to heaven. There is no more hell and brimstone sermons.
Yeah.
You just do not hear them. There's a few pastors out there that still do it, but you know what? They're getting old.
Yeah,
they're getting older.
Well, to the new generation, that's an old message. After all, we don't want to talk about hell because we might upset somebody.
Exactly.
And there's no hell anyway, some of these people are believing nowadays. They just tell you there is no hell and the lake of fire gets burned up and everybody gets saved in the end. So just go ahead and do what you want. But
you bet. And then here comes the one world order, which is connected, of course, according to the Bible, also a one world religion. And that religion is meant, you have, in order to get a one-world religion, you have to bring everybody under the same umbrella. And right now, that has not happened yet. But you're starting to see the slow movements of this. And this is where the Christian needs to be aware of what, especially the Vatican. The Vatican is one of the top religions of the world. I believe it is the most, I really should get my numbers here. Is Islam number one or is the Catholic Church number
I'll
one?
I'll look that up because that would be, yeah.
That would be interesting.
It probably is the Catholic Church, but it could be Islam. I'll look it up while you're talking.
Yeah, because we know that there are, 1.7 billion Catholics. in the world that are tied to the church. There are official members. So, and I'm not quite sure if is Islam I think Islam is the fastest rising religion. And if you look at what the Vatican has been doing the last couple of decades, especially with Pope John Paul II, he was the one that really started bringing in the Islam. He was seen kissing the Quran when he was in the Middle East.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can see the movement of we're all good, and this latest pope, Pope Francis, has also made the comment that we are brothers with our Muslims. No, we are not.
Yeah.
No, we are not. But then you have the opposite end. You've got people like Rick Warren. Now, Rick Warren wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. That book catapulted him to fame, basically. And it was a, you know, he started out as a good directional leader. But the more he got powerful, the more he became famous with that book, basically, and his church is the Saddleback Church. He is now forming the whole idea of Chrislam, which is Christianity plus Islam. So he is bringing in the Islamic part to his church. So you can see the movement on the Christian side, but also on, you know, from both the Vatican and the Protestant. And that concerns me.
Oh, yeah. Well,
now you look at it the other way. The Muslims really don't want anything to do with us.
No.
But yet they are coming. I mean, they are, you know, this will be interesting. And this is where I feel Ezekiel's war is what's probably going to be the turning point for the Muslim. And that has yet to pass. The Gog-Magog war has yet to come.
Yeah, it's yet to come. I'm looking at a chart here. Of course, they say Christianity is the top religion. But
I believe it is.
And then it says here in this Wikipedia, Buddhism is next, 1.7 billion, Islam 1.5 billion.
Okay.
Yeah, we forgot about the Buddhists, but
right.
I'm going to look as far as the Catholics, because many people do call them Christians. I don't consider the Catholic Church a Christian church. It's a false religious system.
I will agree.
And so there's
Now, what is interesting is you mentioned the Buddhist, but I believe it was last week, Pope Francis, there was a Buddhist festival that honored, don't quote me on this, but I believe it honored the birth and the death of Buddha. I believe it happened on the same day.
Uh-huh.
It's a weird name. Of course, I can't remember it. It starts with Hawaii. And the Pope actually sent a letter of confirmation stating that we celebrate with you, Buddhists. I mean, it was an actual form letter sent by Pope Francis. Of course, it was through the Vatican, but congratulating them on their faith. I'm just totally just like, you got it. This is unbelievable. I mean, the Buddhists have nothing to do with God. I mean, at least Muslims have the same God through Abraham. But the Buddhists have nothing.
Yeah.
And Islam, of course, is you know, they got the different God and Allah. You know, Abraham was their father, just like with the Jews.
Yeah, but don't tell them. I remember having a conversation with a man that was Islamic, and don't tell them that Abraham had a son named Isaac.
Oh, of course not. No,
don't tell them that. He was very upset.
Sure, but, you know, that is exactly, and look at the curse that occurred way back then. Thank you, Abraham,
yeah,
for being impatient.
Yeah. You could see where there could be a religious war eventually or using religion for wars how angry people get. Now, if people don't accept Jesus when I talk to them, I don't get angry at them.
No.
And, you know, act like I want to kill them because they don't want to accept my Jesus.
But they certainly are angry with you for bringing it up.
Well, I was really surprised how angry he got over this Abraham thing. And but it goes back to their whole, you know, the whole philosophy that they believe. But I'm looking at this chart here, and it says that there are 1.2 billion Roman Catholics in the world, and this is from the BBC.
Yep, I know it was 1 point something. I thought it was 1.7, but
yeah,
okay.
So we'll have to say
matter.
That probably Christianity is still bigger than the Roman Catholic Church, because if there was, 1.2 billion, I don't know how many Christians, they said 2 billion something, but I would say then probably Buddhism and Islam are probably closely tied as the largest religions.
Right. And like I said, what is interesting is the top, you know, Catholic, between the you would say Christians, the Catholicism is the most, of course. I mean, that definitely, you know, probably doubled the size of the Protestants. I don't know the stats on that. But
yeah,
because
it's saying 2.1 billion Christians, and so if you take 1.2 billion Catholics, yes, so Christianity, real Christians, I don't know. I mean, I don't know
if you'd
even get a billion.
Yeah, but then you also have the Episcopalians, and you have your Lutherans, which are very, and then you have your Greek Orthodox, which are very closely tied again to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
You know, so that maybe
yeah,
they're
you
not
can't count them
Catholic.
Because there's a lot of churches that say we're Christian, but they're not. They don't have anything. They don't look anything like Bible believing churches.
Not. No, that's where the devil has definitely, you know, had his spirit of division in there.
Yeah, and deceive people, because they're these false religious systems. Of course, then those are going to be the people that are going to hate the true believers with a passion.
You bet. And they're getting to be, like I said, these Christians, the ones who are the Bible thumpers, the Jesus freaks, whatever you want to call us. We are the minority. We know that. I mean, the gate to hell is wide and paved, and many go there. And, you know, that includes the Christian as well. I mean, there are many, I believe, professing Christians in hell. This is where Jesus said, hey, I never knew you. Depart from me.
Yeah, I never knew you. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so we do know that there are those who say they are. And, of course, we all have that in each of our churches. That's a given. I mean, this is, again, the percentage of true believers is very small.
Yeah, I would say it's very small. Because
it is,
even in churches I've been in the past where I was a member, and there may have been 1,000 people in the church, but there was very few people that were really strong believers.
Sure. And that's mentioned in the letter to the Church of Philadelphia, when Jesus says, even though your faith is, I mean, even though you are, I'm going to have to almost get my Bible out here. It mentions there that though you are weak, you have kept the faith, or something to that extent.
Yeah.
Now, the weakness that Jesus is referring to is not the weakness in the faith. Oh, no, these are the strongest in the faith, but their numbers are weak. This is the strength in numbers is not in this church. And this is the only letter that Jesus addresses the true believer and says, you know, there is no condemnation at all in that letter to these believers. And Jesus said, I have loved you. You are the ones I love. And if you look at it, it's the weakness mentioned in that letter has nothing to do with the weakness of the faith. It is because the numbers are very small. It's a weak-numbered group. And that, to me, shows that amongst all the Christians mentioned in all the letters, that one is the smallest of the numbers.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of ministry to do, even within our own churches. And
I know, we've got a lot of ministry to do, a lot of ministry. There was an article on Charisma Magazine online the other day from the leader of the Assemblies of God Church. I think his name is George Woods, I think his name is. Anyway, he was calling for unity within the different churches. And
sure.
So, yeah.
You're going to see this, and I think this is where the rise of the undenominational church. Now, I used to attend one. There's, you know, it's okay. I mean, I believe they preach the word of God. But they also like to just, you know, bring everybody in. And I feel that they're going to get struck. And this is happening in my own town with the undenominationals. They are bringing in the gay as well.
Really?
Well, it's all a part of let's just love everybody, you know. And this is where they don't really preach the hell anymore.
Oh.
And this is where the Rob Bell comes from. His church is considered undenominational, Mars Hill.
Yeah.
So now he is, of course, he's in my backyard. He is actually, his church is just a few miles from my home.
Oh.
And he's back now, back at in Granville, Michigan. And he is now supporting the gay marriage.
Really?
Yes, and he never did that. My parents attended his church until when he started preaching, he would no longer open the Word of God. They wouldn't read from the Bible anymore. And that, my parents being older, left that church because of that.
Oh, wow.
And now look at his direction. He's gone to no hell. I mean, that's what his book was about, Love Wins.
Yeah.
And then he basically went to California looking to make a movie, and it sounded like that never happened. I don't know that situation, but now he is back. And he has now back embracing the gay marriage.
Oh.
So now here's your biggest undenominational church in Western Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, you can see the movement. All it takes is the pastor to make a wrong move, and it's all in the name of let's just unite everybody.
Well, yeah, and it goes to this whole religious system in the churches, which is kind of a something that they get from Catholics, is this total submission to authority, where you don't think, you just, whatever you're told, you believe.
And that is, I believe, the error in the Catholic Church, because Christ should be the head there, but he isn't.
It is
actually a pope. But, of course, they feel he's the vicar of Christ. Christ speaks through him. But I tell you what, they've had some evil popes in the past, and they've had some popes that had some really wrong direction. And
very,
that ought to tell you
very
that is,
evil.
That is not at all what the Bible teaches. So, we all should have an issue with that. And the biggest issue I have with talking to Catholics, and I must admit, some Catholics agree with me and some don't, but some feel that even if the Pope's shadow should pass, that it's an automatic blessing.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is dangerous, because you're putting more faith into a man who needs to be saved, like me.
Oh, please, honest.
You know, I just scratch my head, and I'm going, boy, Satan's already got you on the path here and if people know
what
I'm
writing
about.
Yeah, where do they get this stuff from? I remember when I grew up Catholic, and you'd walk into the church, and there would be water there in a fountain, and it would have a cross on it, and they call it holy water. So you walk in and you take this water. What's holy about the water is, you know, some priest blessed it. So then you take it and you bless yourself. And we were forever blessing ourselves, you know, making the sign of the cross over our head and whatever.
Right.
And looking to the priest like he had all the answers. And when I went to church, the service wasn't even in English, so I didn't even know what they were saying.
Right. It was probably in Latin. Sure. But you're seeing the
imagine
movement.
Imagine going to church and you don't even know what's going on.
Right, and you're seeing the movement this way.
Yeah, and the costumes and the incense, and it's all very appealing to the eye. It's very colorful.
Well, I guess what really disheartened me is I live in Michigan, and we have, I believe, coming up, I didn't catch the date. It's either, maybe it's even this weekend as we speak right now, or next weekend, but we are having, and this is what disturbed me, there is what's called the blessing of the bikes. This is for the motorcyclists.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we have a priest that does this, and there is a big blessing of the bikes. Now, that has gone on for years. In fact, Hell, Michigan is where the Blessing of the Bikes, the big one, is usually held. But I guess there's one, I believe it's this weekend, because we're having Tulip Festival. And over in Holland,
that's nice.
Yes, and the tulips are beautiful right now. And the Blessing of the Bikes is occurring at this place, and this is, I believe, the first time that a Christian radio station that I always listen to, and this is not a Catholic radio station, a Christian radio station is sponsoring this Blessing of the Bikes.
Oh, no.
But adding to that, because you got to understand the type of, now, I am a biker, okay, I have a motorcycle.
Oh.
But I do not ride in with a gang. I mean, there is Christian motorcycle groups, and I love them. And,
yeah.
And I would ride, if I had time, I would pick a good one, and I would ride with them.
And what kind of a bike do you have?
I have a Shadow 750.
Oh, that's
so
pretty. No, that's not
it,
too
it's
big.
A, you know, it, but I bought it because I like to scoot around town on little errands.
Yeah.
It's nice to have
my
bike.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
But they are, and I've enjoyed riding a bike.
Yeah.
And so I have one, and my husband rides as well. But what I really caught on the commercial is that not only did the radio station endorse this, but there's a musical group coming in to perform music, and the name of the group is Chaos.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, what is Blessing of the Bikes?
And a group called Chaos.
Group.
That sounds like what's going to be going
Chaos.
On over there.
And you can tell by the name of the group, this is not a Christian group.
No.
Because I don't believe a Christian rock group would name themselves Chaos. Now, I don't know anything about the group, so I could be wrong. But I tell you, the title itself ought to tell you something.
Yeah.
And basically, biker get-togethers, they tend to be a bit rough. They are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit rough, okay? I mean, us bikers get a little bit rough. I don't, but generally it's always the stigma attached to a
yeah.
biker group, you know?
Yeah.
And when you have a Blessing of the Bikes with the priest involved and then this rock group named Chaos, and then you have a Christian radio station being a sponsor of this, I struggle with that. I do. And I'm like, you know,
what in the world is going on?
And that's exactly what I thought to myself, Susan. What is going on? I you know, and this is a very strong radio station. This is, you know.
Yeah, well, not for long if they
keep doing these kind of things. You see the movement of getting connected with other things that are not anything to do with Christ.
Right.
And this is their, you know, I don't know. I kind of like, Lord, my heart breaks for what breaks yours. You could just see it. I almost get irritated. You know,
it comes back around to this whole unity thing, uniting all the religions under one, this whole new world order. And the new order, but let's talk more about this whole situation with this new pope and what it means for as far as the Antichrist, the Babylon, the whore of Babylon, and those topics.
All right. Well, let's first get in, because we haven't talked since the pope was elected.
Right.
Not to mention the date was March 13, so that was 3/13/13.
Oh.
And if you look at the time, I believe there was a 13 in the time, too. I think it was 3:13 in the afternoon.
Oh. Uh-huh.
I don't remember, but I do know the date. And I remember someone emailing me about a week or two prior going, it wouldn't be something if he would come out on the 3/13/13. And he did.
Oh.
But that's just a numbers thing. But, you know, I'm not one of those people that go into a lot of the numbers. There are a few things that I will pique up my interest on things. But that one, it was kind of like a bit of a snicker underneath my breath going, wow, here comes the 13, and he is on 13. So,
wow, I didn't know that.
But when COSA, and I've talked about this on my radio show as well, it's not a biblical prophecy, but there was a lot of talk amongst the Christian circles coming up in these few weeks before Jorge Bergoglio came out, the prophecy of the popes, which is actually a Catholic prophecy because it goes back with the bishop that made the prophecy.
It's a Catholic prophecy, but to me they kind of pulled it out of the hat. Where was this prophecy before? All of a sudden they start digging these things up
like 500 years ago.
Where has it been for 700 years?
I do say, tongue-in-cheek, I will not put a whole lot of credence on it.
Any credence in it because it's... first of all, it came from a Catholic. They don't know God. I mean, they might stumble. Some of them might accidentally get born again. They're not going to get born again in a Catholic church because they don't teach that.
No, they don't teach
the born again experience. They teach you that you're born again when you're baptized, and you're baptized when you're a baby. So you don't have anything to say about it. You don't make any confession of faith.
Yep.
And so. It comes from from a false prophet, it's a false prophecy.
And I make that very clear. In fact, I omitted the whole prophecy right out of my book because it's like, no, this has nothing to do with the Bible, but it kind of played into an interesting part because actually he did fulfill Peter the Roman, and I base it on the Book of Daniel. You go to Daniel 9, verse 26, the Antichrist will come from Roman roots. If you read Daniel 9, verse 26, you will see that. The prince will come from those who destroyed the city and the temple. Well, of course, that was in 70 A.D. The city and the temple was both destroyed by whom? Well, it was the Roman legions, of course, the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
Under Titus was the governor, I guess, at the time. I don't know if he was emperor or governor. Well, regardless, Titus was the general or whatever. So according to biblical prophecy, I was looking for an Italian to win the papacy.
Yeah.
And I did my homework the week before. I went through all 115 cardinals. There was 20.
Wow.
I went
you
through
did do your
one.
Homework.
I did. I went through each one. Looking for all of them that had Roman, descent and who were Italian.
Yeah.
And the thing is, there was like 24 of them that were Italian. And I thought, okay, one of these is going to be it. So then I started digging into each of them 24s. And there was a couple of them that piqued an interest just because of what they believed in or what they wrote. And so here comes, and this amazed me. We have a media throughout the world, not only in the United States here, but we have a media that wants to take God out of everything.
Yeah.
But when the Pope comes up, this is a Christian religion.
Yeah.
They actually had on all three networks of my television area, the Pope watch, the smokestack.
Yeah, they did.
And it said, Pope watch. And I'm just like, this to me is unbelievable. How is it that they hate God so much, but they will put so much credence on this man?
Yeah.
And he's a Christian. And, I say that loosely.
Yeah, we
Christian.
Say it in quotes.
I mean, we don't see the coverage of this as much with, an Islamic cleric coming up. I mean, and this was not just the United States. This was worldwide.
Yeah, it was.
So this was European television as well.
Yeah.
So, and of course, it was like instantaneous when he came out. Everybody knew it. And because the Pope, the white smoke came out.
Yeah. But this guy kind of came out of nowhere, really, because his name wasn't even in the public eye.
I'm watching this, and I was actually not at home when the announcement came over the radio. The white smoke has occurred. And I thought, oh, man. So I actually stopped at a friend's house and and said, hey, I got to watch your TV coverage.
Yeah.
And I says, if this guy comes out and he's Italian, I says, this is going to be, this is it. This is the guy. So here he comes out. And everybody's like, who is he? I mean, it was like from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Said. And he's from Argentina.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, man. I says, maybe it's the next pope. You know, maybe it's the following one, because I'm looking at Daniel 9 thinking, okay, he's got to come from that Roman Empire. And then the announcer makes the comment, and he, you know, started getting a little quick background on this guy. And it was like, oh, he is the son of Italian immigrants. And I went, whoa, what was that? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
He is Roman. And sure enough, he was born in Argentina, but both his parents were born in Rome.
Yeah, his parents were, yeah.
And I thought, oh my, okay, there's the Roman root.
It's interesting, too, this Argentina link, because Argentina was one of the countries that let the Nazis, some of the head Nazis, escape. They gave them asylum there.
Yes, and he was also involved in Argentina's dirty war. And they actually tried to get him to come into court to face charges. And he
So
did.
What was Argentina's dirty war?
There was, boy, this, and that was a quick study for me, too, because I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, something to overthrow the government at that time. And there was, 500,000 to 600,000 people were killed.
Really?
Of those who went up against the government.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two priests. Now, he was of the Jesuit order then,
yeah,
at the time.
Now, that's another interesting point.
Yes. There was two Jesuit priests who were not quite complying with what the government wanted to do. They were kind of going against the grain a little bit. And Bergoglio gave them away. He told the soldiers these people were hiding.
Oh.
He actually traded them in. And they ended up getting beat, and they were drugged and beat and lying naked in a field when somebody found these two people.
Uh-huh.
And they went right back to Bergoglio and said, he's the one that turned us in.
Yeah.
And that's why they wanted to bring him up on charges, because Bergoglio was powerful enough where he would work with that government to help. He wanted to overthrow it, I guess, was part of it. I could be getting this wrong, but he was definitely not in line with the church. And they wanted to bring him up on charges, and he hid behind the church. He used his excuse that I am Archbishop and you cannot touch me.
Well, the fact that he's a Jesuit, of course, the Jesuit,
yep,
is a military order.
So they're saying there was a reporter that actually wrote a book about him and how he was involved in the scandal, and that he had the blood of many people on his hands.
Yeah.
But
well, if anyone wants to read, go on the internet and pull up the Jesuit oath.
Yes, that is
you'll
very
be
interesting
shocked.
As well. That is, and that's a blood oath. They draw,
yeah,
blood in order to make this oath.
Yeah.
And now you got to understand, the Jesuits are the military arm of the church.
Yes.
So this is, again, a very dangerous thing, because he has the guts of this, where he would use that order to go against those who are going to go against him.
Yeah,
now,
he looks like, yeah, he's kind of got this unassuming smile. And
oh,
and
look how humble he is.
Yeah,
look, well, look at
charismatic personality. Yeah, look,
yeah,
how humble he washes people's feet. And, oh, he took the subway or whatever. I'm,
yep,
like, boy, whoever's doing his PR. Oh, it's like, well, when is he going to move out of his thousand? I think there's 10,000 rooms in that palace there that he lives in. So, yeah, he's so humble. Like, he's going to give it all up, the golden chalices with the jewels and the golden vestments and,
yep,
all the artwork, the football field's worth of billions and billions of dollars worth of artwork. Yeah. They have done a very good job brainwashing people.
Sure. And I have had so many good non-Catholics say, I think this man's good for the church. I just went, you got to be kidding me. Look at it this way. And I tell people this. I says, look at this. And you look at the picture of Time magazine.
Yeah.
And you will see, and if you ever see him in public, he does not wear the gold papal cross around his neck. He wears the iron Jesuit one.
Oh, really?
Yes. He refuses to wear the gold papal one.
Oh.
The ring that he wears.
Uh-huh.
He specially had it made out of silver overlaid with gold. He, instead of taking a solid gold one. Okay.
Because of the Jesuit thing.
Yep. Now, his shoes. There are special red papal shoes that are made for each pope. He refuses to wear them. He wears the black Jesuit ones.
Oh.
So pay attention to that. Now, everybody says this is a humble tone to this man. But I tell people this. I says, wait a minute here. Let's say you have a little girl getting dressed for church. You put out her pink dress with the pink shoes, and you got her little gold cross, and she's got the special hair bow, and she comes into the room and says, I'm not going to wear that. I'm going to wear my brown school shoes, and I'm going to wear the purple beads that I got from Grandma last year. Are you going to say, oh, what a humble little girl?
Yeah.
No, you're not. You're going to think, you little brat. You little brat. You're going to wear what I told you to wear, and that's it. You're not wearing your brown shoes with your pink dress. You're going to wear this.
Yeah.
And she folds her hands across her chest and says, but wait a minute, I can do what I want.
Yeah.
This is exactly Pope Francis.
Yeah.
Look at the attitude, people. This is not humility. This is, I am going to do what I want. And what was really interesting, and this really ticked off a lot of the traditional Catholics at Easter Mass,
uh-huh.
He cut the liturgy by half an hour.
Oh.
And this is something that you do not do. You always do the whole, it's a whole written out process.
Yeah.
And if you know the rituals, it's something that happens every year.
Yeah.
And he didn't like the length of the reading, so he cut it by half an hour.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, there's a lot of Catholics that are looking at this going, we don't like this. You're not supposed to do that. You know, but he is starting to change just these little things.
Yeah.
And what I see, and I want to get this next one in because this to me is big. He made another change 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
On April 13, 1 month into his papacy, I got this notice. Actually, when I was watching television in the hotel room. And across the ticker, along the bottom of Fox News, Vatican announcement. Oh, I immediately perk up. You know,
mm-hmm.
What's coming across the news? That's a headline out of the Vatican. Again, who cares, right? But it makes news regardless.
Yes.
And it said, Pope Francis chooses 9 cardinals to govern Vatican. I about come unglued. And I'll tell you why. If you go back into Daniel as well as Revelation, it talks about the 10 horns.
Yeah.
If Pope Francis is one of the horns and he just elected 9 cardinals, that makes 10 people ruling the Vatican.
Yeah.
Again, that is something never been done before. All of the cardinals, there's 200 of them, all the cardinals help rule the Vatican. The Pope is one. He's number one, and they all answer to him. But all of the cardinals help with that.
Yeah.
He now picked 9 special ones to help him, and that's something never been done before.
Yeah.
They
now,
meet.
Were they from different countries?
Yep, I'm going to read them off to you.
Oh,
because
good. Okay.
Look at the countries they're from.
Okay.
And it's amazing to me. First of all, they're going to have their first meeting October 1 through the 3rd. So pay attention to the 1st of October. that's when they are first going to meet, and they're going to redo what's called the Curia. And that is the like the constitution, I would say, of the Catholic Church.
Okay.
They're going to do some changes. So that will be interesting in October. Okay, I'm not going to say the name of the cardinals because these are people I can't even pronounce.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some of them here that have four names.
Yeah.
But I'm going to name the countries.
Yeah, good.
Okay, first one here is the Vatican City. So
yeah.
We already have one right out of the Vatican.
Yeah.
One is Chile, India, Germany, Republic of Congo, USA. If you want to know who that is, it's Cardinal Sean Patrick O'Malley. Of the USA, Boston, of all
Boston,
places.
Yeah, that's
yes,
what I
Archbishop
thought.
Of Boston. He
yeah.
is one of them.
Yeah.
Australia, Honduras, another one for Italy. That's it. Those are the nine. Now, if you look, this pretty much covers each part of the world. You have your Africa with the Congo.
Yeah.
That also could be your Middle East because that's, you know, part of the Muslim area. But to me, it hit about almost all of the world, except for it really didn't hit the Middle East really closely. There wasn't anybody from Syria or anything like that. But what shows me is he's got one from every major point of the world. That is interesting.
Yeah, that is.
It is. So he didn't just pick a bunch out of Italy. And, of course, he represents Argentina himself. So that's your South America.
Yeah.
I think we have to pay attention to this as being the possible ten toes. I don't know. I'm throwing it out there because why would he elect nine with himself being the tenth? Now, what would be extremely interesting, and I want your listeners to pay attention to this as we evolve through time. In the book of Daniel, it says that three of the horns are removed. They're rooted out, root and all. So it's leaving for seven, and that's, again, reiterated in Revelation with seven. So what if in the Catholic Church, when you get taken out, root and all, what do they do to you? They've excommunicated you.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see among these nine cardinals, I believe the little horn that comes up that becomes boastful is actually the Pope himself. I can see how that would fit because he's the number one guy anyway. But what if three other cardinals start bulking up against him? Hey, we can't be doing this. We shouldn't change that. We can't be doing this. And then he makes such a problem for them that he excommunicates them, root and all. That's something to look for later.
Yeah.
And then I feel we definitely have our ten toes. I mean, this is because if three cardinals get excommunicated, I'm just telling you, keep an eye on that. Because he is capable of it, and I'll tell you why. When I did a little bit of homework on what his life was like in Argentina, he attended a particular school of theology, and I don't know which one it is. I cannot pronounce it. He was at this particular school, and there was a professor, or I don't know what you call him, Monsignors?
Monsignor.
See, I'm not even, I know what I'm talking about, but I can't say it.
Yeah.
A Monsignor.
Okay.
He did not like him.
Uh-huh.
And this is record. When he became Archbishop of Argentina, he went around and fired that guy.
Oh.
He got revenge.
Yeah.
And I thought, uh-oh, this guy is not one to let bygones be bygones. He carries a grudge.
Uh-huh.
And now you can see he actually has the character to excommunicate a cardinal if they should come up against him.
Oh, I'm sure.
So I think that's something to
look
forward to.
Worse than that. Worse than that.
Pardon?
Worse than that. They would do worse than that because of them being the Jesuits being a military organization.
And maybe he outright and kill them. I don't know. But it does say they're.
Well, I wouldn't put anything past them. I mean, they, in case the listeners aren't aware of the Inquisition, And I encourage you to do a study, also to read Fox's Book of Martyrs and other books. The Catholic Church was very, very vocal at one time and didn't try to hide the fact that they murdered people who did not join their church.
Yeah, and it was the Order of Jesus.
Yeah.
The Jesuits were the ones that did the murdering and the arresting.
Yeah.
You know, and this is why they were very powerful in the church, and that's why they were considered the black popes, because sometimes they had more power than the pope themselves. People feared them more because they were the military faction of the church.
Yeah.
So that's where they get the term black popes. And, you know, and you have a supreme leader of the Jesuit order. And, of course, the first couple of days of Pope Francis's reign, he brings in his supreme order, his commander, so to speak, and, you know, has an audience with him. Of course.
Uh-huh.
So I said, you know, people are, you know, I guess I struggle with those who do not think the Pope could ever be the Antichrist. Like, you've got to be kidding me. No way. It's going to be somebody like Obama, you know. And it's like, you know, guys, but look at it this way. He fits. He's coming over as a good guy. He's coming over as, you know, a somebody that has strong spiritualism. And I says, but wait a minute. What if he starts solving some of the crisis going on? And this week, he brought in Simeon Perez from Israel. They had a meeting on Tuesday.
Oh.
Yeah, and they were talking about the Palestinian situation.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, yeah, I bet Mr. Pope Frankie, I probably should call him that. I should have more respect for that, right? Anyway.
No,
Francis,
I don't think so. What, you don't have to have respect for somebody serving
but,
the devil.
You know, I call him Pope Frankie when I'm a little bit irritated.
Yeah, well, we're irritated.
And it's like, wait a minute here. What are you doing meeting with the defense minister of Israel?
Yeah.
And now this
is really
interesting. And this, I'm just sitting here going, God, you're playing with this here because you're making this almost like a comic strip here. He was invited to Israel. Pope Francis was in
uh-huh.
the name of peace. And I went and I put a
little, oh, yeah?
and I put a little note on my Facebook thing, my note, and I says, yeah, and bring along that 7-year treaty while you're at it.
Yeah.
But you know what is interesting? Jorge Bergoglio, which is Pope Francis today, was in Israel for the last time. You know when he got there? He was there, I believe, for one day.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what happened the day he arrived?
No.
Yom Kippur War broke out.
Oh,
that was
interesting.
The last time he was in Israel. And I thought later, I thought, huh, I wonder what happens when you set foot in Israel again. I wonder what war will break out then.
So when is he going?
I don't know. There's no date set.
Oh.
He has been formally given the invitation. So it'll be interesting to see. And I'm almost positive that you will see Pope Francis in Israel. And there will be an agenda. And, of course, the Vatican has always wanted to own Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that I don't know if they do now, but I know they didn't even recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Oh, they still don't. They still think it's the Palestinians, that they deserve half of it.
Yeah.
But I'd be interesting to see if Pope Francis does make a peace deal. Now, that peace deal has eluded every president. But what if this guy could
do
it?
Yeah, that would be interesting, right?
That would be. That would be. And to me, that would be something people need to be aware of. Whenever you see the Pope talking to members of Israel, people pay attention to what he is suggesting.
Yeah, because they don't have any special affinity for the Jews. When I grew up as a Catholic, little girl in Catholic school, we were told the Jews killed Jesus. We were told that. Now, I felt so sorry for poor Jesus because I never understood the plan of salvation. But I felt so sorry for poor Jesus. Imagine Jesus coming down. I didn't even know he was Jesus before. I knew he was born from Mary, and then that was his mother, and Joseph was his father. And then, you know, it was kind of confusing because you knew that he was the Son of God, but yet he had this father who was a saint and his mother, oh, you know, we worship Mary. So, but I didn't really know who Jesus was, and I felt so bad for Jesus that the Jews killed him, because I didn't understand that he came to die. That was his purpose. Nobody killed him. He came to die. He gave his life up. So I was grew up thinking that the Jews did kill Jesus. So the Catholic Church does not have any special love or affinity for the Jewish people, except that they would love to have that land themselves.
You bet. You know why? Well, they bought the upper room, or not bought. They do now own the area of the upper room.
Yeah.
That, I believe, was going on before Pope Francis came.
Well, I wonder how they managed that.
That'd be interesting. And you know, in the book of Revelation, it says the Antichrist will sit in the temple. And, you know, I mean, that has not been built yet. So I do believe the third temple will be rebuilt by the Jews. And I believe that this guy will sit in the Holy of Holies and claim to be God. And, yeah, you probably have to own the Temple Mount for that. So that's coming. And what better way to make money than to start owning the religious areas?
Oh, well, I think they probably, I don't know who owns the supposed place of Jesus' birth where they built this shrine. Of course, they don't know that he was born on that spot.
Of course. But, you know, they will, and people will pay money for that.
Sure, they do.
Of course. So, you know, why not?
We know
not,
he was there. That we do know. We know definitely he was there. I mean, we know where Golgotha's Hill is. Yeah, there's a few places we know for sure.
And the Vatican would love to own real estate over there. And the thing is, the Vatican does have the money for it. And I just one of those things. If they make some sort of peace agreement over there, they're going to put up a little bit for themselves too. They're going to pat their own back with something.
Well, what most people don't understand is that Vatican City is their own city. They have their own state. The Vatican, right there in Rome. It's a government. They have a bank. They have a military. The Swiss guards actually carry guns. They actually guard the Pope.
Yep.
All these things look very colorful and very pretty, but it's a masquerade for what really is going on. They have an agenda. Their agenda, in some ways, is much worse than other religions because they are out to convert everyone to so-called the Holy Mother Church, the only one true church, they say. Of course, we don't believe that. But, have a mission.
And can't you see, you made a point right there. Can't you see how the Antichrist could be the Vatican Church here? It makes sense. They already have the foundation for everything needed. They do. They have their own country, their own this, their own that. It just needs to get bigger. And they would love for that.
Well, it's very big. If anyone, if you think about it, and you think in your own town, even in the county that I live in, it's a small county, maybe just over 100,000 people or so. There's probably 10 or more Catholic churches in my neighborhood, so they're all owned by the Catholic Church. That's millions of dollars worth of real estate just here in my little county. Now, imagine how many counties there are throughout the United States, how many billions, maybe a trillion dollars worth of real estate that they own right here. And they have their own library. They have a library where they have taken historical documents and hid them away. And I think they actually tried to write history. They've tried to rewrite history, especially Christian history, to make it look like they were really the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, going way back, and they have these, you know, fathers of the faith and whatever. And they have, interesting that they have documents from Martin Luther and Henry VIII, and they have all these things stashed away. And you can't see these books. People have been writing books for hundreds of years, thousands of years, and I think they tried to confiscate a lot of these books so that the truth wouldn't get out. Look how they hated people that merely translated the Bible into a language where people could read it. They didn't want people to have a Bible. They killed people that translated the Bible. This is the Catholic Church. This is not any other organization. This is the Catholic Church that killed people for translating Bibles into English.
And you don't think that has changed?
No, I don't. It's a nice looking package now. Now it looks, they've kind of gone underground with their agenda. And they want you to think, yes, here's this man, the new man, Francis, named after Francis, who loved animals and was so humble. And he goes and he takes a picture washing people's feet. And he rides the subway. And he lived in a small apartment. And, oh, such a humble man. But it's a smokescreen.
Absolutely. And look at the way the book of Revelation says about the harlot. And she is drunk with the blood of the saints.
Yeah.
She will start her killing machine again. You bet.
I don't think they ever stopped it.
I think
that there's things going on that we don't even know about. Because why? I'm a Christian. I don't need to have a military organization behind me.
You bet. And the Jesuits are in everything. They have infiltrated everything.
Well, they also, they talk about these news channels, and they talk about Fox News like it's supposed to be some bastion of truth, when Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News, I believe is a Knight of Malta, or he's one of these been knighted by the Pope. So why would you want to trust this organization either? They might throw you a few crumbs out there, but Rupert Murdoch's publishing company also published HarperCollins, I think it was an arm of one of his publishing companies, and published the Satanic Bible. So,
yes.
Just because these wolves, they look nice, look like nice little sheep, and they throw you a few crumbs of truth now and then, but we better get into the Word of God and find out what the real truth is. Otherwise, we're going to be deceived.
Yes, just be watchful. I think that is the bottom line. If I can tell any of the listeners right now, just say, hey, just keep an eye on what the Vatican is doing and then relate it back to the Bible and see the formation here of that one world order with them being the head of it. I believe that's what's coming. It's still in its formation yet. You got to understand, the devil's not all going to come out blazing all at once. People will get spooked. And he's got to start it very slowly, a little crumb at a time, so to say, to start the trail, you know. And then pretty soon we'll look back and say, how did we get this far? Because he's very clever at this. And
deception. Yeah,
he did this long time ago. He's, you know, it all started with Constantine and that vision. You know, with just like, you know, we ought to have this, we ought to have that.
Oh yeah, well then they tried to paint Constantine like he was some kind of a born again Christian.
Absolutely,
and that was another way they tried to rewrite history.
Exactly, it was a trick back then, and people fell for it. It was a deception.
Yeah.
And Jesus said it will be such a strong deception in those days that even the elect could be deceived if it were possible.
If it were possible,
can you imagine a born-again believer could be tricked by this? It would be so strong, such a foolery. And
I've seen it, and I know when I was a young Christian and people used to tell me about let's have unity and let's all be one, and I didn't even want to speak out against the Catholic Church back then because I wanted unity. I bought into this whole unity thing and we're all brothers and sisters.
Yeah,
and then I had to put my thinking cap back on and ask God to show me the truth, because I knew growing up a Catholic, and I knew what was wrong with this institution. So, I knew I wasn't saved when I was a Catholic. So they were trying to sell you on this idea that, yes, we're all Christians, and we'll don't know you by your love. But that didn't last too long.
No.
But you almost were chastised by people for trying to speak out.
And you will be, and you still are today, even more so. You know, as soon as you start bringing about, you better not judge. You have no right to judge.
Yeah.
It's like, but
it's a Christian church. They talk about Jesus.
Oh.
They say they love Jesus. I said I loved Jesus when I was a Catholic. I love Jesus, but I did not know Jesus. I didn't know who Jesus was. I didn't know what he did. Yeah, I knew about him.
Yeah.
And there's the difference.
And this, like I said, we as believers have got to start getting back to the Word of God and know that there is a balance. Yes, God is love. But there is also a wrath for those who disobey.
Yes.
And
he's
and
also a God of judgment.
And that's where the balance is tipped, because everybody doesn't want to talk about that part of God. It's, it's all the love and all the tolerance. And that's just get along and let's bring everybody under the umbrella. And I tell you what, that is a deception right there.
Yeah.
What could be coming in the future? I don't know. And there is so much, I believe, that the devil's got waiting for us believers, that if we don't start getting back into the Word of God and getting on our knees, we're going to be swept up like with the rest of them.
That's it. It's easy to be deceived if you don't know the truth, because the counterfeit looks so good.
Yep, and that's why I'm out there. That's why I'm talking about this, Just keep an eye on these religious churches who claim to be tolerant of everybody. Watch that. Do not go there.
Right.
Because you're going to get swept up into the lie, and I don't know what lie is coming. Maybe that is it. Love everybody. Maybe it's a different thing that's coming. I don't know. But I tell you what, those who are not strongly rooted in the Word of God and don't get on their knees every day with the Word of God and in prayer, you're going to get it. You're going to be deceived. And by the time you know it, you got the mark on your right hand or your forehead, and you have no idea how it got there.
You don't have any idea how it got there. I wanted to go into a little bit more about the Whore of Babylon, if you could explain what that is.
Yep, well, we know there are women in Revelation. Let's first get into them. We have the Bride of Christ. We have the whore of the great harlot. And then we also have the woman with the 12 stars and the sun and the moon. These are the basic three women mentioned in Revelation. And if we can just take the Bride of Christ as our example to focus on, and then we can see how the other two will also be similar.
Okay.
We know that the Bride of Christ is, related as a woman, obviously. It's the bride. It's a woman. But we also know this as a group of believers, right? It's the church.
Yeah.
It's the Bride of Christ is the church. I think that is something we don't need to explain. People know this.
Okay.
Okay. So what is the church? Well, it's the people, men and women in the church, who have a common understanding, a common belief in Jesus Christ. okay, these are the born-again believers or the saved ones.
Yeah.
So now we have the opposite. We now also have the great harlot. So we take the same analogy. It's a group of people, men and women, who believe a certain way, and that it is actually a form of idolatry, because in God's eyes, a harlot, it was somebody who worshipped something other than God. Those who are fornicating were the ones who went to worship other idols. That is mentioned many times in the Old Testament.
Okay.
Okay, so this is going to be a group of people who follow a belief or have a religion who worship something other than God himself.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a false religion, so to say.
Yeah.
Okay, now, that we, I do believe, we see forming in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Because, now I can probably grab my Bible here, and I might take me a bit to find it. But we have a couple of descriptions of this harlot, okay? Now, the harlot is mentioned as to having, she is also a great city, okay?
And yeah.
That, I believe, oh, that could be in Revelation 17, could be where that is at. Well, we do know that she is reserved as a place as well, that she is a city that sits on seven hills. Well, that could be a number of cities. Rio de Janeiro sits on seven hills as well.
Oh.
But so does Rome.
Yeah.
And we just talked about this. The Rome is also a religion. It's the only religion that is actually a city as well.
Yes.
I mean, if it says that in the book of Revelation, it says that she is also a great city who sits on seven hills. Now,
yeah.
Where does a religion, if we take a woman being a religion, where would this religion have sat? Well, we can say this would fit Rome then, because it is also the city on seven hills. Now, what keeps me extremely interested, and I think this is the nail on the head, and I'm going to have to find it here, describing the harlot, it tells that she is dressed in fine linens of purple and scarlet.
Yeah.
Okay, we can take that literally. Look at the people in the Catholic Church, the cardinals, the bishops. Are
oh,
they
yeah, what
dressed
costumes?
In fine linen?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow, the costumes, the tailoring, the intricate garments.
It's the only, oh, here, I got the verse right here. Revelation 17, verse 3. I'm going to read it. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet. Okay, what do the cardinals wear? Red, scarlet, purple. Last Easter Mass, they were in purple.
Yeah.
Okay? This is the only, only religion on the earth that would fit. Islam doesn't dress like this.
No.
No, they sit with their robes in the dirt. Uh-uh. They're extremely humble type of religion if you look at the way they're dressed.
Yeah.
There's no ornate
stuff. No, there's nobody that dresses like the Catholics.
No, and it's describing her. But now it continues. Look at, and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls.
Yeah.
Oh, come on here. Look at their necklaces. Look at the rosaries.
The chalices. The encrusted monstrances.
And most rosaries are made out of pearls.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is a fit there. No other religion has this. And this is, to me, the crowning part that just puts it right on the head here as being the Catholic Church is your great whore. She held a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. What is the main thing in the Catholic Church that is so precious to them? It's that golden chalice.
Oh, yes.
It's
oh,
that
we used to bow down to it.
It's
we used to bow down to that thing. Yes,
oh.
we did. We used to bow down. Oh, we worshiped it because we believed Jesus was in that thing.
Right. Now, how many religions around the world outside of Christianity, okay, because we also have communion, but my communion has sometimes a silver cup. So the church, the Catholic Church, is the only one that has a golden cup of
communion. Yeah, golden chalice. Yeah, we're encrusted with jewels.
Exactly. And if that is given to you, a description of the great harlot, the great whore, it fits. Now, who does she ride on? She rides on the beast, okay? And the beast, to me, is the Antichrist. We know that. So you could say the Catholic Church rides on the back of the Pope. The Pope takes the beast, or the Pope, the beast, takes the harlot wherever he wants her to go.
Yes.
He does not control him. He controls her.
Yes.
And doesn't the Pope control the church?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
What he says, ex cathedra, it is law.
Yes.
Yes, you bet. If the Pope makes the decision, the whole church goes by it. And that's why I wanted to bring up that inclusive group of people, those nine cardinals that are going to be meeting October 1, 2, and 3. Pay attention to what they decide, because that's going to be the whole thing in the church. Be interesting to see what changes are going to start to be made.
Yeah, well, that's still a way off. I wish it was
many.
Sooner, because we would have really learned something.
I tell you what, I think you might see this summer, we might see some real dramatic world events. And I think you will see the meeting in October to do with something with that. I think this summer is going to be very interesting, whether it's with Israel or it's going to do with terrorism. I don't know. But why that meeting is all the way in October is interesting.
Yeah, it's far
because
off. Also, they said something about the Pope is also the King of Rome.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, to me, this is something that makes sense to me. And the more I see what the Catholic Church is into and what this Pope could be capable of with his history, I think it's amazing. Now, here's another part of Revelation that makes a little bit of sense here. Revelation 17, verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
This is John speaking. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints.
Yeah.
The blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. Obviously,
yeah.
These are those who are saved. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. And the angel said to me, "Why are you astonished?" And I think about this. John is seeing this vision, or this, you know, for him it was something he was in the spirit with. He was seeing something in the future that he's amazed about. And I wrote this in my book, and I said, why is John astonished? Now, you can imagine the word astonished here would be like unbelieving. Just, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
He's like, what is going on? And I said, why would John be astonished at what this great whore is doing? And I said, look at it this way. John grew up, and throughout all of his life, he always known the Roman government was the persecutor of the saints.
Yes.
You know, it was always the heathen governments that were the ones that would be up against the Christians.
Yeah.
But it's switched now. It is now a Christian religion going after Christians.
Yeah.
And that's what John can't believe. Can you see now why John is amazed?
Yeah.
He's like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
How did someone in the name of Christ go after Christians?
Yeah.
And is killing them?
Yeah.
He can't fathom it. He just,
yeah.
To him, it's like he's astonished. He can't believe it. And that, to me, is another clue here. it is not going to be a heathen government. It is not going to be an Islamic religion. It's going to be a Christian one that goes after the Christians. And that's why John just is like, wow. He's just wow.
Yeah. Well, there'll be other people doing a wow, too, if they don't take heed to the warnings and to see the handwriting that's on the wall.
You bet.
Don't be deceived by the wolves. There's so many wolves out there dressed as sheep. And the Bible says that we're not supposed to be deceived, that we're foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Don't be bewitched. Don't take everything at face value, but know the Word of God. Know what the Word of God says, so that as we see these things happening, and I see Brenda Johnson in the chat room, and she has, as the day approaches, and as the day approaches, and as we see the days approaching of the soon coming of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, stay close to Jesus. Stay close to His Word, because not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, knows Jesus Christ, who Jesus really is. They talk about Him, but they don't really know Him. And next week we're going to be doing a program on Islam and on jihad. And tune in for that program. But Christine, we just have about 4 minutes left today. But is there anything else you wanted to say in closing?
There was something that came up, I think it was a week or two after Pope Francis took the papacy, and I just thought it was an old religious ritual, and I just thought it fit perfectly. And you know what? You just mentioned it, and it brought it, and made me, I wanted to say it. It reminded me. It's called the placing of the pallium, P-A-L-I-U-M, on the shoulders of the Pope once he is elected. The pallium is an actual sheep wool covering.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, you see where I'm going?
I didn't know that.
And when I seen that ritual, I had to text everybody and saying, we have got the wolf in sheep's clothing.
Oh, wow.
I thought, you know, to me, those are little tiny cliches that we have talked for years. A wolf in sheep's clothing. We still talk every now and again about that. And you know what, girl? Just you saying it just 30 seconds ago, to me, this is God's hand and just showing people, look, that little cliche, look, it fits.
Yeah.
It fits. What in the world is that ritual of taking a thing of lamb's wool or sheep wool and putting it on the show? This is literal, people. I'm not making this up. They actually have a ceremony where they put the pallium on the shoulders of the Pope.
I bet they have a video of that. I'm going to look for that.
Yeah, they did.
I didn't know
that.
It
was about 2 weeks or a week or so after his election. So
there's
an actual ritual where they place the sheep's clothing on the wolf.
Unbelievable.
And you just made that comment. That was like, oh, man, I'm going to finish with that.
That's terrific. That really is. Now, that says it all. See, the devil doesn't always try to hide what he's doing. Sometimes he just does it right in front of you, and you look at it, and you don't even see what's going on.
You bet. And he who sits in the heavens laughs. And I just, he had got to be laughing that day when that occurred, and he says, you know, remember that cliche that's been going around for years? A wolf in sheep's clothing?
Yeah, well here
it
is.
People.
It's very evident. Very evident. Well, Christine, I want to thank you for coming on today.
And
very, very informative, as always.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming on to my program. I always enjoy talking with you, and I learn something every time. So God bless you. Keep up the wonderful work. Christine has her program on Blog Talk Radio.
Yep, and just Google Explain This on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, and she also has her book Explain This, a verse by verse explanation of the book of Revelation. Don't forget to get that.
You can get that right on Amazon if you wish. Explain This, just like it sounds. You'll see the orange cover. My website also has it, and that's explainthis.us. It's free shipping on my website.
Okay, and explain also, this on Blog Talk Radio.
Yep, and everything's connected there. So we've got some interesting times, I tell you. And to me, this is perfect time to be alive.
Yes,
perfect
amen.
Time to be alive.
Amen. God bless Christine.
God bless
All right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you, everyone in the chat room, everybody that is listening. And Brenda, thanks for stopping by. Looking forward to next week. So everybody, remember, give your life to Jesus today. Repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. He loves you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll give you a brand new life today. And God bless you. Tune in next week.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.